It's a day that John and I, that God has made, not John and I, but we're coming together, two generations, as Rudy said. We kicked off the Shine Conference that was last November. And coming up in May, we have what we're starting tonight coming up called The Promise. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the promises of God, or some of the promises that are in your lives as well, and to remember those promises and hold on to them. Hold on to the promise that, you know, the day that God forgave your sin, how that joy came rushing in. Never to forget that joy. And that can be renewed day in and day out, day after day. So I also want to say on a lighter note that when Dave, when Dawn, you came home, Dave, when you came home, the following day, Dave came by my apartment, and he was like, ah. We turned the TV on, we watched the Island, the game, you know, we ate everything you can imagine, you know, from cookies and ice cream, and where is he? Where'd he go? Oh, okay. So, Dave was awesome. Dave did a great job. All right, without any further ado, John, you ready?
Ready.
The promise, or the promises. Now, the word promise has several meanings, and the word promise in the Hebrew dictionary translates into a word, omar, or omir, which refers to the word utterance. Now, some of us have recently studied in the home groups the word utterance, how he uttered our names and us into being, spoke it. Refers to the word utterance, and once again we can see how God is speaking and creating the utterance of his word. He's still creating because he's still speaking. The very breath of God utters his promises. The word also signifies that the spoken promise gives good ground for expecting a forthcoming and a guarantee, as in a contract or a covenant, acting as the evidence of, and to give hope, and to herald a declaration of assurance that one will do a particular thing and that a particular thing will happen. Because God uttered that. He said it will. God gives his blessed assurance by the utterances of his promises. Now, how awesome is that? You can say it's awesome. You can. It is awesome. So having said all that, Jonathan, will you open us up in prayer?
I will open us up in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the words that have already been spoken. And I just pray for your peace, and I pray for the power behind whatever words are spoken, because that's the only thing that makes this work. It's only you. It's what you are the engine behind this, Lord, and we need you to enter in. We need you to open up our hearts, Lord. We need you to fill it, Lord. We need you. That's all we need. I pray that you will just bless this time, and that you will just bless these conversations that we're about to have. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm going to be honest. When Uncle Steve came to me, he said, I had this vision of us speaking together about the promise. And the first thing that came in my head was, what does a promise mean? And you know, like when you sit up in front of people and you have to speak, you start to question every word that comes out of your mouth because you really don't want to look like dumb or anything. So I was like, what is a promise? Like, if I promise my friend something, what does that mean? And I started questioning it. So, of course, the first thing I do with a lot of these things is just go to Google. So, you see, like, I didn't take time to, like, get the, like, what Uncle Steve, that was a great definition. And actually, his definition is one of the last definitions he got was the one I got. And so Google says, a promise is a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. So I was like, okay, Lord, I know what a promise means now. So what does that mean? Like, what does that mean to me? Like, what does that mean just to anybody, really? And he didn't show me what it meant necessarily, but he showed me how we actually can't receive promises really because of our interactions from our childhood. And what that means is that we actually can't trust well because of our interactions from childhood. And what that means is that when we were children, we start to trust, like, just relentlessly. Like, we just put our trust in everything. And through interactions with our parents, our peers, our elders, whatever, that trust slowly starts to get broken. And because somebody promises us something, and then we realize that promise sometimes doesn't hold that much weight. So we constantly get this promise that just keeps getting broken and broken and broken, and we build this wall brick by brick, and we just keep adding to it, and we keep adding to it. Before you know it, we're adults, and we receive Christ into our life, and we start pursuing the things of God, but we have a hard time trusting His promise because of that thing, that very thing. So we start to see promises not as declarations anymore, but as empty statements. And it can really tarnish how we trust in God. So how do we break this wall? We have to let God, we have to be willing to let God come into the depths of our soul and of our experiences, and we have to let Him tear it brick by brick.
Amen.
And how do we let God tear it brick by brick? We have to start believing in His promises. We have to take that stance and say, Lord, I am really scared and I'm not sure if I can do this, but I'm choosing to believe in this
promise. Amen, amen, yes.
We start to trust Him. So what are God's promises? And I was talking to Uncle Steve about this, and after he told me, I was like, okay, I'll pray about it and I'll come. And then I came to him and I was like, Uncle Steve, the whole Bible is a promise, really. And he just started laughing and he was like, you're right. And it was kind of this moment of realizing that the whole Bible is just the words of God, and it's really just His promise to us. You know, if you go through the commandments, you go through the Gospels, you go through everything, you start to see that there's promises in all of it. So the Lord told me, He said, I want you to just start reading the Bible, and I'll reveal the promise in
Amen.
Whatever you're reading.
Amen.
So when I was originally doing this, I said, okay, but the big promise ultimately is, you know, when we receive Jesus Christ into our life, we get eternal life, which is, you know, if you can read that in Romans 6:23. So that particular day, I was reading Matthew 6:25-34. So if you have a Bible and you want to open up to it. And this scripture really starts talking about, you know, do not worry, and it talks about the birds of the air and, you know, all of that. And I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but I'm gonna get down to kind of what I wanted to make a point about, which is at the end. It's near it is 31 on, and it talks about, you know, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body, what you will put on. And it basically talks about the needs that you have, and God understands those needs, and He gives it to you. But the way He gives it is what I want to get to. It says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Amen.
And what I kind of want to, like, emphasize on is the seeking righteousness and all things will be added to us. That's a promise of God right there. And it takes that effort for us to seek righteousness to receive that promise, which then builds trust, which then, backing up all the way, tears down those bricks. So I then started saying, okay, Lord, how does that, you know, apply to me, and how has something in my life happened that has applied to that scripture? And the first thing I thought of was, I couldn't really think of something big, you know, something like really impactful that just brings everyone to tears. So the Lord just showed me my accounting exam. And it's funny how God can speak to you in any way He wants to, in any situation He wants to. So I told this accounting exam story before, and this testimony that I had. So I was in this accounting like 101, and I took the first exam and I got a 94 or something. I did good on it. And then we were preparing to take the second exam, and we were learning all the material for it. And the professor said, you know, this is the exam that's the hardest. The first and the third, you know, people generally do good on, but the second is kind of the meat of accounting, so you have to, that's one you have to work for a little bit more. So I was like, okay, and he started teaching it, and it just is really hard, and I was just, nothing was clicking with me. I was just really confused, and I just actually sat there in class sometimes. I would just pray in tongues. I was just like, I can't really, I don't understand a word he's saying. So I was like, Lord, you can say what you want. So I was going, and I was just really nervous. And it was like a take-home exam. It was a three-hour exam. You got to, you know, it was open book, open internet, all that stuff. So I sat down at my computer, and I was getting ready to take this test. And he's like, you know, it's going to probably, it's not going to take you 3 hours. It's going to take you maybe 2 hours, 2.5 at most. So I sat there, and it was kind of funny. I'm sitting at a corner desk, and I have my laptop here, and I have paper surrounding me, just of notes that I have taken and different chapters and readings and stuff like that. And I was just over-prepared, in a sense. And I started taking this exam, and it's just, as soon as you hit that start button, it starts counting up. That time just keeps going. And if you cancel out of it, you got a zero on the exam. There's no, like, turning back. So I sit there, and I'm really anxious, and I'm trying to, like, go as fast as I can to get it all done. And I'm, like, 15 minutes in, 10, 15 minutes in, and I'm just like, I'm going to fail this. I was like, I don't think I can finish this in 3 hours. And I was sitting there, and I just was, like, hopeless, and I was just really panicking. And all of a sudden, through just the worry that was happening, the Lord said, in a very loud voice that took over my thoughts, he said, I want you to go get your Bible and just start reading it. And I said, but Lord, like, the time's running. And I was like, I can't do that, really. And so immediately, right after I thought that, I was like, no, there's something to it. So I ran and grabbed my Bible. And this clock is just keep running, and I open up my Bible, and I put on some, like, instrumental music, and I just started reading. And this overwhelming peace just came over me. And it just took over the situation.
Amen.
And immediately, like, right after that, maybe like 3-4 minutes of reading, all of a sudden, the Lord just said to me, you can go back now. And I said, okay. So I closed everything back up, and I went back. And all of a sudden, the numbers, all that made complete sense, and I just started clicking, and I was typing in numbers, and I was filling in all these boxes, and page after page just kept going. And I was just in awe of what was happening. And I finished in about 45 to 50 minutes with 100. Okay. So there is no way that was me, and it really took that. So, God's promise to me in that moment, which goes back to the scripture, was that if you seek me, you will find the very thing you need.
Amen.
What I needed was not the right answers to the exam. I needed peace, because that exam was stealing that peace from me. So I needed to trust that promise to fulfill that. And that was one area of my life that I needed in that particular moment. But these promises fulfill every area, whether it's peace, it's stress, it's anxiety, it's whatever it is. The Lord has a promise for you that you need to receive and trust to take over that moment. So that really taught me just this amazing lesson that can really only be understood by experiencing it over and over and over again until it's really just ingrained in you. And that's with the small things and the big things. It really doesn't matter. It's just experiencing that promise coming true in your own life when you seek after it. So when we give God our attention, basically, he lights up the path through the obstacle. Now, a lot of people think of, like, they see, like, trees and stuff and, like, a dark night, and there's just this, like, path that's lit up. And the Lord actually showed me, he said, no, it's not like that. It's like a flashlight right in front of your foot, and you just have to take a step, and you're scared, but you have to trust that promise to get out. And he gave me this piece about, you know, you have to be able to trust the promise of, I am not going to lead you into danger. I cannot let you go, which is the hardest thing that any of us could really do in our life, is to trust that promise. And that, you know, that type of affirmation and assurance is the promise that needs to be found in everyone's heart. That it only, you can hear about it, you can have it be taught a million times, but if you do not sit with the King and you search for his heart and have that promise revealed to you, it doesn't matter what anybody says. It really is just an effort by everyone's own journey.
That's right.
And when you get that, I want to say this jokingly, but not jokingly, you get to hold it over God's head, that promise that he said. And what I mean by that is a great example of this is in Exodus 32, which I'm going to open to. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to kind of just refer to it. And this is the story of the gold calf. And, you know, Israel is in the wilderness. They send Moses up to the mountain. Moses doesn't come back for a while, and everyone starts getting scared of what they're not seeing, basically. And they go to Aaron. They say, we want to make a calf. We want to give us, you know, all the gold and whatever, and I'll make you the calf. So he makes the calf, and they worship it. And what I want to get to is what the conversation with Moses that God starts telling him, you know, what's going on, like, down there. It's verse 7, Exodus 32, 7. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you've brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. You know, and he goes on to say they've turned aside, they're stiff-necked people, I'm going to kill them and make a great nation out of you. And he just goes into this whole thing. And he said, and one of the keys to this scripture is that God is saying to Moses, your people that you brought out of Egypt. He keeps pointing it at Moses, and Moses actually turns it back on him and says, no, it's your people that you brought out of Egypt. And he said, why would I bring these people out here and then have the Egyptians speak of, oh, he brought them out here to die? Do you remember the promise that you promised Abraham, Isaac, and Israel?
Amen.
And what ends up happening is he starts interceding for Israel and starts telling God what he promised him, which is kind of like weird because it's like, oh, did God not know that he promised that? But so Moses intercedes for this, and God turns away from the wrath, and Israel is spared. But the key thing to this is that it took Moses remembering the promise and trusting in that promise that when he brought them out into the wilderness, that God was going to fulfill that promise. So when he heard God say, I'm going to kill everyone, he wasn't scared because he knew what that promise was. And he said to the Lord, you need to fulfill this promise because Amen. You promised this
yes.
to me. And the Lord ended up fulfilling it. But that part of it is interesting, but I want to go back to what the Israelites were doing. You see, Israel was losing the sight of that promise. They turned to these gods. They fell into the sin. They were not trusting this promise. And why was that? And it goes back to that first scripture that I said. It was because they weren't seeking righteousness. They weren't seeking the Father's heart. And when you don't seek the Father's heart, you can often forget about the promise he's made you. See, Moses was seeking the promise of God, and he knew the promise. But Israel didn't seek God, and they forgot, and they fell into sin, which they did multiple times. And it can happen with us very easily because, like Israel, they didn't want to have a relationship with God. They were scared. They wanted Moses to go before them. And sometimes, a lot of churches from the time church started, they've said, okay, we want somebody up there to go talk to God and then deliver us the message. So it becomes easy for us to not seek righteousness because we are trusting in our leaders to do it for us. And then we lose the promise and we build up these walls, like I said before. And it can become a very dangerous game of being scared when you're on this island and not knowing that there's a boat coming for you, which is Jesus. And if it wasn't for Moses, Israel would have been dead. They would have been killed. And it is that drastic sometimes that, you know, when we don't trust the promise of God sometimes, it can be detrimental to our situation. Maybe not into the extent of him pouring his wrath on us and killing us, but just of our situation overtaking us with fear, with whatever it may be. So it's very crucial for us to find this in our own life.
Yes.
So, in closing, I just kind of want to read a few scriptures of some promises that God has made in the Bible. And this is everywhere. You could literally just open up the Bible and find it. But I found a few, and I wanted to read them. And I want to just encourage you that if any of these speak to you, that to go home and to just really sit with God and just go into these scriptures and find what that promise is for you or for your situation. It might not always be just for your whole entire life and whatever it is, but sometimes it can just be for your situation, you know. So I'm going to read a few of these, and they'll be up there. Proverbs 1:33, "But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." Isaiah 40:29-31, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls."
Yes.
And then Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And then, like I said before, the big promises: "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, all of these scriptures require us to search God, to search for God's heart. Because in all of these, you can see that he says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, but enter into my presence to understand what that is." See, we can never understand it if we don't sit with him. So we really need to just pursue Jesus Christ and the promises that he's set down for us. Sometimes that means reading a scripture and getting it. Sometimes he'll give you a unique word for your situation. We need to have an open ear to hear whatever the Lord is speaking. So in that, in concluding that, I pass it over to Uncle Steve, who has a fantastic testimony. And the promise of God has reached him in a very different level than it has me, because it happened in the depths of where he was at. And it is a very touching and encouraging story, and I can't wait to hear it.
All right, well, thanks, John. How about a nice round of applause, John? He's not over yet, even though he said it was the end, but he's coming back after me again one more time. I said it's 4 hours.
Yeah.
So that's a promise. That was great. It's important that John said what he said was very important. Hadn't actually realized that myself, but now that he said it, really sunk in, that we need to seek it, right? We need to seek the promises of God as we remember them. But more than that as well is to trust them, is to believe in them, is to believe that the promises of God are yes and amen and are eternal. For what God does, he does forever. He never changes it. Once he says it, it's good. And that's why we can hold it over his head, right? We can do that. If you're bold enough to do so. Because along with that, holding it over God's head, there's going to be, you know, something over your head. So, to take this a little further before I give you that promise that came to me in a very dark place, and hopefully I'll make it through without, you know, too much tears. I got my napkin, I'm ready. God's way is not a matter of mere talk. It's an empowered life. A life that comes from the promises of God. Believing them and trusting them empowers us to actually have a empowered life. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God does not consist in just words. He's not just talk. He's real. Christianity is a rational faith. Christianity is an evidential. It has evidence to it. It's a faith of evidence. It is not a blind leap of faith. Jesus came as a promise in the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. He, Jesus, performed miracles of healing in front of eyewitnesses. It should not surprise us that ministers of Christ today perform miracles of healing by the power of God's promise. This is one type of miracle. The miracles performed through the ministry of healings is just one example of the power of God's promise. They are the evidence of the promise given to us by Father God, the creator of all things in heaven and in earth. Healings are signs and wonders that bring glory to God. Healing demonstrates the power of his spoken word through the promises that he gave to us. They are not just happenstance. Nice word, right? Happenstance. Or of any physical or practical value for curing sicknesses. They are indeed fulfilled promises. They're miracles. Healings are signs and wonders that bring glory to God. I felt important that statement is important enough to say it twice. God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will, to what he has promised. In Hebrews 2:4 in the NASB, whatever. Another such promise is the promise of new creation and of a life more abundant in John 10:10. So new creation and a life that is more abundant. The promise of new life is that God continues to use supernatural power to witness to the truth of the gospel from when he first gave his promise and right up till today and forever. It's important we had testimonies today because those are the fulfillment of promises that he made. And as we see, read here, it says that they are the power to witness to the truth. That's the promise of God, a witness, as in revelation, to the truth of God's promise. Christianity is not a dry academic argument over faith versus reality, although there are many Christians today in church believing that that's the case. We have it in our mind, but we don't have it in our spirit. Christianity is a promise of a supernatural kingdom, of the supernatural kingdom's principles, and of divine morals that are far superior to the ever-changing thoughts and ways of humankind. Far superior. Christianity is alive and vibrant, and it exposes the compassion of God and the power of his promise. God's compassion on the sick and on the lost and on those who are spiritually dying is revealed through the faithful ministers and ministries of those he has promised and for those he has sent. And by all of them that went before them from before time. And to those healing evangelists that are at work today, never underestimate the power of God. God revealed his love through his promise for humankind in that he sent Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, kept his word. He sent him. We know him. Jesus is the promise. Jesus is the promise. Period. He's the promise from the Father, and that makes Jesus the fulfillment of all the combined promises and of all biblical prophecy. Jesus the Christ and his apostles worked miracles of healing which confirmed the truth of the Christian message. The prophets foretold that Christ would suffer and die, taking upon him the penalty we deserve for all of our sins, thus making an atonement. On the basis of Christ's atonement, we repent and ask for forgiveness of all our sins. So turn to Christ and receive the promise of forgiveness. Because he didn't just die for us, he died as us. He became us fully in our sin nature. Remember your promise. Remember the promise that God spoke to you and hold on to it. Hold on to it like you would hold on to the most precious thing you could ever have, God's promise. Because the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Galatians 3:18. God has given each one of us his promise, and he is not a man that he would lie. Hold on to the promise that he gave to you. You must not waver at the promise, just as Abraham did not waver. And surely he will complete what he has started in you. Love God, love his grace, hold on to his promise. Be assured of the blessings that will come from the utterance of God's promise. Here is a testimony of my faith, believing in the promise of God for my future, from a recent journal, not one of those ones. I came from the depth of the pit of miry clay. But from a recent journal dated in January, just this past 2017, I wrote this in my journal. I could share this journal with you, right? I mean, it's okay. If you don't want to hear it, I'm going to say it anyway. This was a promise. God, a good morning, and yes, it is a good God morning. It is January 19th, 2016. And today I returned to work after a long recovery from a broken femur and hip surgery. My fall happened on October 4th, 2015, and I was operated on the very next morning. I say thank you to those who were there, both in the physical sense and in prayer with me, and over that extended period of time. Being home alone and having to work through the process of muscle recovery and bone repair from what appears to have been and is still an ongoing process, a painful process. My emotional state ran the whole course of fear and doubt and then roller coasted right up to God, knowing that he is greater than all things that could ever be. But it ran right back down into loneliness and rejection, and a sense of abandonment lingered. I was humbled by this experience, but I found joy and love in the Father and in his Son Jesus. The need for human touch is ever present. Because, you see, a part of me died. And that need for human touch that is ever present pales to the presence of the Lord and his Holy Spirit. Yeah. To be lifted up into the throne room and to sit at his feet, glory to God. That's all I can say. What I lack in human companionship and comfort is more than covered by his holiness. Just believing in this one promise that was written in Jeremiah 29:11, as Sean read that earlier, that his plan for me is for good and not for evil, to give me hope and for a future, for my future. God collected all my tears and he did not wipe them away, as some may have thought, but rather he saves them as precious jewels. And I realized that I could not do it without him. Today, I will take a new approach to my life and be thankful to him who promised with such great and precious promises, that of life, knowing that he is able and will keep them and make me more than a conqueror. Yes, I am afraid. And yes, I stand alone, vulnerable to the unknown in my weaknesses. Still in pain, and physically and emotionally pain, still unsure of the day, but something inside me speaks. It's the good news. He says, don't be afraid. I am with you. I am the first and the last, and my love and grace is sufficient. I have made a way for you, Stephen. Like my mother would call me Stephen. My father would call me Stephen. I did not take you out of the miry pit then, only to leave you here now. You didn't do that to leave me there alone in the darkness of doubt and fear, because I have a light and it always shines. So bless the Lord, O my soul. Then he spoke this promise. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. And I say praise, praise to the Father of light. Thank you, Lord. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Luke 2:30-32. Now, I'm not looking to leave the planet just yet, and I think that's what that scripture was making reference to. But you can dismiss me from the fear and the doubt that was surrounded me, the darkness that we live in. Each one of us have that ability through the promises of God. You don't have to fall and break your leg. You don't have to be a drug addicted man. You don't have to go through all the things that people go through to receive the promise and then take it. Amen. Take it. Amen. Hold on to it. Jesus, the light of the world, unto us, a Savior, is born. Amen? Not just to those who are afflicted, but to everyone. Another promise is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Children. That's us. We're still children. We're still children. We may look like we're adults, but we're still children. That was Ephesians 6:1-3. This promise still stands firm and unyielding today. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That's a promise. This promise is very reassuring, because Jesus will never, ever cast out or turn anyone away that comes to him. His promise means that anyone can come to him at any time, and also tells us that God is no respecter of persons. When people come to Jesus for eternal life, he turns no one away, regardless whoever turns to him. In John 6:37. Now, I believe that the greatest promises that the Father could ever have given us are these two, and although there are like four or five, but you know, there's two. The promises were spoken to Abraham as to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to you and your seed, meaning one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:16. That's the promise of Jesus. And another great promise is, for God so loved the world, not just Christians, not just Jews, but the world, all his creation, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. As John said, that's the promise of eternal life. In John 3:16. Now finally, some say that promises, like John started to say, are made to be broken. And a lot of times they are. But that really is a lie. Because the promises are made by those who do not have the power to complete them. and to see them through to the end. It's a shallow promise. It's a hollow promise. Hollow promise. But God has the power to complete his promises and to see them right through the end. That's pretty cool. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished him with gifts, many gifts, right on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all of its wise men. Daniel 2:47-48. Now neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:39. There's a promise. God, if you don't remember anything from God, take that promise right there. I found that to be true. And I'm sure most of you have already. Now God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. He didn't say maybe you'll abound. He didn't say you might. He said you will abound. You will. Believe it. Hold on to it. 2 Corinthians 9:8, that was. Now God has promised to fulfill each and every one of the promises that he has made. Amen? And that's what I got, Johnny, and hope you got something to close up with.
When he's asked me to close, and he said something from this book that we've actually been doing in our Bible study on Tuesdays. It's called The Nature of Freedom, and it's written as God's letters to you. He said something in there that was really touching to hear, and I would love to read it. And then I have something from that same chapter. It said, when I died, so did you. I did not just die for you, I died as you.
Amen.
He said something, and that was really interesting. What I'm just going to close with is reading this one paragraph. It says, you are no longer a slave to sin. It is no longer your nature. I have removed it. All that remains is your attachment through memory to a habit, which can be broken by our partnership and relationship. Yeah, cool. He who is dead is entirely free, and I will teach you and show you the reality and the power of that freedom.
What a promise.
It is an incredible promise, and I think we need to all hold on to that. That through our relationship, we are no longer slaves of sin. We are free, and we can move in that freedom as we wish.
So seek, find, hold on to it. Believe it. Trust. What else?
Those are the points. We didn't plan that, but that came out of it. So yeah. Write those down.
Yeah. So John, why don't you close us in prayer?
Close us in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you for just how comforting they can be and how,
yes, God,
how they just lead us, Lord, to life and how they lead us to you. I pray that we will put our trust in that, Lord, and I just pray that you will direct us in how to be willing to receive that, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know it's scary, but I pray that each and every one of us will receive it, Lord, and receive the power and the freedom that comes from that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for just so many promises that you've made each and every one of us, Lord. Mm. I thank you for your power, Lord, and just your willingness to just make promises and then just answer them, Lord, as we need. We put our full trust in you, Lord, and we give everything to you, Lord. We lay our life down. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Woo-hoo. Got a lot of food.